Welcome to Power to the People. Hello and welcome to Power to the People. I'm your host, Erica Smith. We are still in full celebration of Black History Month, started as Negro History Week by Carter G. Woodson to highlight the contributions of African Americans in the United States. In the previous episode, we spoke about an American prophet, Mr. James Baldwin. His books and essays and interviews are just as pertinent today as they were 50 years ago. On this episode, we are highlighting Mr. Colin Kaepernick, an American football player and activist protesting against injustices in the United States, specifically against police brutality. Here is Breathe from Alpha Mist in memory of Eric Garner and his daughter, Erica.
The family essentially is a community of everybody doing a different part, everybody being different, everybody, you know? And in a household, you learn about authority, right? You learn about order, you learn about selflessness, you learn about organization, you learn about competition, and that's what a family gives you.
Thank you.
2018 Winter Olympics in Pyeongchang, South Korea, come at the right time to honor the political activism of athletes like Colin Kaepernick. Seen as one of the greatest quarterbacks in 2013 for the San Francisco 49ers, he graced the covers of Sports Illustrated and Gentleman's Quarterly for his athletic abilities for a sport he fell in love with during his youth growing up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. In 2016, he found himself the subject of various media outlets and on social media for refusing to stand for the national anthem. His motivation was in the police brutality that plagued African-American communities in the United States. In 2017, there were 1,147 police-related deaths. 282 of those deaths were African-Americans. What must be understood is that African-Americans make up 13% of the population, but 25% of the people killed. In the state of Louisiana, there were 17 deaths, three of those in the capital of Baton Rouge, with one of those deaths being a case where Mr. Philip Clark was hit by an unmarked police car while trying to cross Florida Boulevard. With these upsetting cases and figures involving police brutality, there are those who believe that the American flag neither represents liberty nor freedom for all on American soil. Jelani Cobb, staff writer for The New Yorker, and Harry Edward, professor emeritus of University of California in Berkeley, explains this best in The New Yorker video retro report, The Black Athlete in America.
It's kind of an irony that we find ourselves criticizing now predominantly black athletes for issuing a statement of dissent in the context of the national anthem. Given Francis Scott Key's own racial sympathies or lack thereof.
When you go back and look at who Francis Scott Key was, a slaveholder, someone who wrote into the third stanza of the national anthem a phrase glorifying the murder of slaves who were fighting to free themselves, it's easy to understand why African Americans probably have grounds to say, we don't want to stand up and sing this. But that's not what the deal is. African Americans are very much willing to accept what the first stanza of the song has become. But they also insist that we live up to it.
That should have never began. Ain't no need in asking me to stay chopped, 'cause my soul is tired. I'm sick of crying. Gonna walk out that door. Ain't coming back no more. And gonna look behind me. Don't you try to find me, 'cause you did me wrong. That's why my soul is tired. Oh, my soul is tired. My soul is tired. Boy, my soul is tired. My soul is tired. My soul is tired.
Colin Kaepernick explains in his own words his reasons for not standing for the national anthem during the interview he gave after the 49ers game in 2017. It's important to note that during the preseason games, he wasn't standing for the anthem, and at that time without any backlash.
I mean, ultimately, it's to bring awareness and make people, realize what's really going on in this country. There are a lot of things that are going on that are unjust. People aren't being held accountable for. And that's something that needs to change. That's something that, this country stands for: freedom, liberty, justice for all. And it's not happening for all right now.
Is this something that's evolved as a philosophy in your mind? And how has this kind of progressed that you make a stand like this?
It's something that I've seen, I've felt, wasn't quite sure how to deal with originally. And it is something that's evolved. It's something as I've gained more knowledge about, what's going on in this country in the past, what's going on currently. These aren't new situations. This isn't new ground. It's things that have gone on in this country for years and years and have never been addressed, and they need to be.
Will you continue to sit?
Yes, I'll continue to sit. I'm going to continue to stand with the people that are being oppressed. To me, this is something that has to change. And when there's significant change, and I feel like that flag represents what it's supposed to represent, and this country is representing people the way that it's supposed to, I'll stand.
Specifically, what would you like to see change in order for you to stand?
There's a lot of things that need to change. One specifically is police brutality. There's people being murdered unjustly and not being held accountable. Cops are getting paid leave for killing people. That's not right. That's not right by anyone's standards.
Colin, so many people see the flag as kind of a symbol of military. How do you view it, and what do you say to those people?
I have great respect for men and women that have fought for this country. I have family. I have friends that have gone and fought for this country. And they fight for freedom. They fight for the people. They fight for liberty and justice for everyone. And that's not happening. I mean, people are dying in vain because this country isn't holding their end of the bargain up as far as, giving freedom and justice and liberty to everybody. It's something that's not happening. And I've seen videos, I've seen circumstances where men and women that have been in the military have come back and been treated unjustly by the country they fought for and have been murdered by the country they fought for on our land. That's not right.
Did you personally feel oppressed? Personally?
There have been situations where I feel like I've been ill-treated, yes, but this stand wasn't for me. This stand wasn't because I feel like I'm being put down in any kind of way. This is because I'm seeing things happen to people that don't have a voice, people that don't have a platform to talk and have their voices heard and affect change. So I'm in a position where I can do that, and I'm going to do that for people that can't.
Is this the first year that you haven't stood up? Did you do it other years, or is this the first time?
This year's the first year that I've done this.
And you did all the preseason games so far?
Yes.
This is the first time it was noticed?
Yes.
How did your teammates respond when you explained yourself today, and what was the support like for you?
The support I've got from my teammates has been great. I think a lot of my teammates come from areas where this might be a situation. Their families might be put in this situation. It's something that I've had a lot of people come up to me and say, I really respect you for what you're doing and what you're standing for. So to me, that's something that I know what I'm doing, what's right, and I know other people see what I'm doing is right. It's something that we have to come together, we have to unite, we have to unify and make a change.
What do you say to the people that say, hey, you're doing the right thing, but you're going about it the wrong way?
I don't understand how it's the wrong way. To me, this is a freedom that we're allowed in this country. And going back to the military thing, it's a freedom that men and women that have fought for this country have given me this opportunity by the contributions they have made. So I don't see it as going about it the wrong way. This is something that has to be said. It has to be brought to the forefront of everyone's attention. And when that's done, I think people can realize what the situation is and then really affect change.
You've done it every preseason game. Are you almost relieved that it took this game and the questioning that followed to let your voice be heard?
It wasn't something that I really planned as far as it blowing up. It was something that I personally decided I just can't stand for what this represents right now. It's not right. And the fact that it has blown up like this, I think is a good thing. You know, it brings awareness. Everybody knows what's going on, and this sheds more light on it. Now I think people are really talking about it, having conversations about how to make change, what's really going on in this country, and we can move forward.
From the Indians, welcome the pilgrims, and to the buffaloes, who once ruled a plain. Like the vultures, circling beneath the dark clouds, looking for the rain. Looking for the rain. Just like the cities that stagger on the coastline, and a nation that just can't stand much more. Like the forest buried beneath the highway, never had a chance to grow. Never had a chance to grow. And now it's winter, winter in America. Yes, and all of the hills have been killed, sent away. Yeah, but the people know it's winter. Winter in America, and ain't nobody fighting, 'cause nobody knows what to say. Save your soul, Lord knows, from winter in America. The Constitution, a noble piece of paper, with free society, a struggle, but they died in vain. And now democracy is ragtime on the corner, hoping for some rain. They look like either hoping for some rain. And I see the robins perched in barren treetops, watching last-ditch races marching across the floor. But just like the peace sign that vanished in our dreams, never had a chance to grow. Never had a chance to grow. And now it's winter, winter in America, and all of the healers have been killed or betrayed. Yeah, but the people know it's winter. Lord knows it's winter in America. Nobody knows what to say. Save your soul from a winter in America. Stick. Thank you.
it's a winter. Winter in America. And all of the healers done been killed. Sit away. Yeah, the people know. The people know it's winter. Winter in America. And ain't nobody fighting, cause nobody knows what to say. And ain't nobody fighting, cause nobody knows, nobody knows. And ain't nobody fighting, cause nobody knows what to say.
As you may already know, Colin Kaepernick wasn't the first athlete to fight against social injustices in the United States. The first public televised protest was from Mr. Muhammad Ali, who contested the war in Vietnam as a conscientious objector. In taking this decision, he lost his boxing license. Here's an interview that Mr. Muhammad Ali gave between both the final decision and when Ali first mentioned his decision. Ali is on air with Mr. Howard Cosell for ABC News in April 1967, just on the heels of 1968. Keep in mind that 1968 was a very critical year in the world of sports for social change.
As you know, the heavyweight champion of the world has just made his decision. He has rejected induction into the United States military forces. It is also his personal choice at this time to issue no statements, to talk to no one, though he has consented to sit here before this camera with this reporter. He has issued a written statement, however, a copy of which I have in my hand, and the nub of which is simply this. He has taken the action that he has taken based upon his personal convictions and with a full realization of the implications and possible consequences.
The champion was not nearly so reluctant a week earlier to spell out his reasons in person. In Louisville, Kentucky, he spoke out loud and clear.
And I will say here boldly now on television, no, I will not go 10,000 miles from here to help murder and kill another poor people simply to continue the domination of white slave masters over the darker people of the earth.
Sometimes when a man refuses because of religious beliefs to go into the service and wear a uniform, the government will assign them to work possibly in a hospital, a federal hospital or something like this, as a civilian. Would you agree to this?
No, sir. I won't participate. No, sir, I'm a minister, preacher from the stand of rostrum. I'm not a marcher. Mm-hmm. But I will say here that I have in my press release that I've said it once and I will say it again. The real enemies of my people are right here, not in Vietnam. And we who follow the most honorable Elijah Muhammad take no parts in wars, as the Holy Quran teaches us. We take parts in no wars on the side of infidels or Christians or non-believers in Islam. No wars unless it's declared by Almighty God, Allah himself, or his messenger. So the thing is, what type punishment or what type persecution would I receive here in America for my religion? That's the whole point.
But, Champ, if the Honorable Elijah Muhammad advised you to go into the service...
He don't advise he us. Wouldn't. He don't advise us nothing of what to do. This is a test that all Muslims go through. As the Holy Quran teaches us, who is he to say that he believes and not be tried? We all must be tested and tried by Allah to see if we are sincere in faith, even if it means face machine gun fire, so I'm ready to die.
Many civil rights leaders were not anxious to comment on Muhammad Ali's action. However, Dr. Martin Luther King promptly defended the heavyweight champion.
Do you think that Cassius Clay is morally justified in opposing the draft as far as he says he will take it?
Oh, I certainly do. I think that he's doing what he is doing on the basis of conscience. I've talked with him about it, and I think he's absolutely sincere. And when you speak of the moral justification for it, that's one thing, and that's the highest and best justification, but it's also legally justified to be a conscientious objector. This is guaranteed by the Selective Service Act, and this is what he is contending that he is, a conscientious objector to war in general and to this particular war in Vietnam, and I would strongly endorse his actions on the basis of conscience. I would not dare stand in the way of one who, on the basis of moral conscience, takes a position as he is presently taking.
And speaking about athletes and politics, these Winter Olympic Games in Pyeongchang, South Korea, falls 50 years after a famous gesture made during the 1968 Summer Olympics in Mexico. Tommy Smith and John Carlos arrived first and third in the 200 meters. On October 16, 1968, while on the winner's podium, when the national anthem was played, they lowered their heads and raised their black glove fist in protest against racial segregation in the United States. This action was seen as scandalous by the Olympic Commission. Both Smith and Carlos lost their medals and were sent back to the U.S. Even Australian Peter Norman, who accepted through solidarity, wore a pin for the Olympic Project for Human Rights, was privy from the Olympic Games until 1972. As we can see from the sacrifices of various athletes, Colin Kaepernick, Muhammad Ali, Tommy Smith, John Carlos, and even Baseball Hall of Famer Jackie Robinson, who after his time in the Major League, he mentioned in 1972 that money is America's God and business people can dig black power if it coincides with green power. He also stated in this 1972 biography that today, as I look back on that opening game of my first World Series, I must tell you that it was Mr. Ricky's drama and that I was only a principal actor. As I write this 20 years later, I cannot stand and sing the anthem. I cannot salute the flag. I know that I'm a black man in a white world. In 1972, in 1947, at my birth in 1919, I know that I never had it made. There are still ways to go in this fight for social change, not only in America, but also abroad. The first steps begin with all of us taking time out to sit with each other, sharing our experience. To do this, we need all of your stories, sharing our power to the people and with the people. Power to the People is brought to you by Democrats Abroad Global Black Caucus. You can contact us with your questions and comments at www.democratsabroad.bc. Check out our broadcast on these outlets. On Podomatic, it's dagbcp2p.podomatic.com or at the L31 Project. And our podcast can even be found on canalsuit.net. As Power to the People grows, we want you to grow with us. And if you are interested in making a contribution to our show, please let us know. We bid you farewell with power and strength through the words of Lazarus Man, as sung by Terry Callier. And until next time, keep the power going.
Walked out of the tomb. I've been out on the deep, but since he bid me to rise, I ain't been to sleep. And it's a wind on the ocean, rain on the land, three drops of water, one grain of sand. I'll tell you the story just as quick as I can, but I got nothing but time. Coast. He was out on his feet, pale as a ghost. And I asked him his name. He said, Lazarus, man. I've come to this country from a faraway land. And it's a wind on the ocean, rain on the land, three drops of water, one grain of sand. I'll tell you the story as quick as I can. 'Cause I got nothing but time. I'm the Lazarus man.